going to read from God's word right now. If you want to turn with me to John 15, we're going to be reading verses 1 to 17. If you haven't bought your Bible this morning, you'd like to make use of the church ones. They're up the back of the table there. Feel free to take one for the service. Okay, so John 15, 1 to 17. But just before that, shall we just bow for a moment, please? Oh, make your word a swift word, passing from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip and conversation, that as the rain returns not empty, so neither may your word, but accomplish that for which it is given. Amen. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch shall bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I commanded. I am no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Kingdom Kids and Youth. Thanks for that presentation. Very entertaining, but also full of wonderful gospel truth as well. So it's crazy to think that it's December already. And here we are. We're in the run-up to Christmas now. I guess as we've been saying for a little while, over December, what we're planning on doing is a evangelistic series where we're talking about, you know, some of the bigger questions in life and ultimately how Jesus fulfills all our deepest longings. Now, just so you know, the five talks that we're giving over December, I'm basing on some of the big ideas that come out of this book here. It's Making Faith Magnetic by Daniel Strange. And if you're interested in checking out these things that we're talking about a little bit more over the coming month, you're welcome to check that book out yourself. I guess also I just wanted to thank everybody who was in here yesterday for the Christmas lights working bee as well. It was a very big day that you all put in, and it looks, I'm really looking forward to what it's going to look like when the lights are turned on. So just, thank you everybody who put in so much time and effort into that as well. But as we turn to the word this morning, so our topic this morning, as you can see, we picked up there, is totality. Can I connect with something bigger than me? And I guess just with that thought in mind, I mean, have you ever stopped and wondered why we go to, you know, live events to watch them in the in person? Why do we go to the stadium and watch the Broncos play? Why do we go to a concert venue or an arts venue and see, you know, music being played or dancing or acting? Why do we do that? I mean, if we stayed home and watched it on TV, we'd probably get a much better view, be a lot more comfortable because we'd be, you know, set up in our own thing. The drinks and the food that we get at intermission would be a lot cheaper. The commute and the car park would be way quicker and cheaper, definitely. And, you know, if it was an arts performance, something that's recorded is probably going to be of higher quality than, you know, something that we go and see in live in the person. So, I mean, if there's so many benefits to staying home and watching it on TV, why go and watch it live? Atmosphere. Thanks, Tony. What is it that makes us want to go and be there? I guess just to illustrate, I'll give you a sports story. Now, just go with me on this one. I mean, earlier in the year, the boys and I, we went to go watch the Broncos and the Bulldogs play at the stadium. Now, I know that's not the Broncos or the Bulldogs, but that was just a free photo that I allowed to use without copyright issues. You know, we got there for the game. The Broncos started off a bit flat. They were down on the scoreboard, but then there was this one point where Ezra Mam, he poked through the defensive line, flicked the ball onto Katoni Staggs, who shoved a couple of tacklers off him, and then he started running. And then you could just hear the roar coming from the stands, and the roar just worked its way all around the stadium until every Bronco supporter in the whole place was cheering him on at the top of our lungs. You know, all those 50 metres that he ran all the way to the try line. And then when he put the ball down, tens of thousands of people are in jubilation together. Jubilation that no doubt could be heard far outside the stadium. But why? I mean, there was one guy who scored a try. Why are the rest of us so joyful about it? Because by being there, we all felt part of it. When he was running down the sideline, we were all cheering him on. We felt like we were personally, you know, pulling him closer to the try line, each one of us. Though we were in the stands, we felt connected to what was happening on the field. But not only that, when we're one of tens of thousands of people all cheering in unison, we're connected with every other supporter in that ground, connected with a bond for that moment that feels more real than anything else. And ultimately, we felt like this wasn't just Katoni's try. This was our try. We were all in it together. It's all to say, at that moment, we felt this real and deep connection to something bigger than ourselves. We all could have stayed home and watched it on TV, and it would have been more convenient, but we never would have got to experience that moment together. Now, look, I know that's a footy game. I know not everyone's into footy, but I mean, when you go to a concert or something and you hear your favourite band play your favourite song and the orchestra plays your favourite piece or something like that, it's a similar thing. You know you could sit home and listen to it on your music player at home and it would still sound like your favourite song. But when you're personally there, there's a level of connection that's not there if you watch it on a screen at home. You're all sharing that moment with the band playing the song, and you're sharing that moment with everybody else who is there enjoying it as well. I mean, have you ever experienced a moment like that? Yeah, where there's a live event that you've been to and you've just felt this connection with other people who are there. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about when I'm just talking about this connection? But of those examples that I've given, what's the big problem for us? Well, I mean, in the first one, the Broncos and the Bulldogs game, though those fleeting few seconds of watching Katoni Staggs streak down the sideline were pretty special, the Broncos ended up losing that game by an awful lot. It was embarrassing. there were those fleeting moments of joy, but in the end, the connection that we felt was very brief, and we all left the ground feeling very unsatisfied. For all our cheering, we'd achieved nothing. We were all very insignificant. the moment they'd promised a lot, but it couldn't deliver on its promises. I mean, even if the Broncos did win, inevitably we'd all have to go home and disconnect. You know, same with going to a concert. It ends. The connection doesn't last forever. Now, these live events, and it's not just live events, you see this in all sorts of different ways. I mean, social media, clubs and societies, you know, fashion trends, political tribes, there's way too many of these things to name. We take part in these because all of us have this deep longing for connection. Deep down in our hearts, connection with other people, connection with something bigger than ourselves. That connection helps us feel like we aren't alone in the world, like we aren't just an insignificant little blip on the radar that doesn't mean anything. In those moments of connection, we feel like we're part of a bigger story and like we really matter because we're part of something that really matters. There's just something fundamental about every person that longs for that. But at the same time, you know, the problem is that it doesn't last. The connection that we feel through these things, the significance that we feel through them, inevitably, one way or another, it gets disconnected, ends up feeling meaningless, and ultimately we end up back in that place of feeling lonely, insignificant, and lost. And when we feel that, we can look for a fresh connection anywhere we can find it, so we can feel that satisfaction of feeling connected again. But if we're looking for it in the things that we can see, ultimately, it's not going to last and it is going to end up in disappointment. But, I mean, thinking bigger picture, why? Why is it this way? Why do we long for connection? But why is it often so unsatisfying? Because there is a creator God and he's created us people to be meaningfully connected beings. When we experience meaningful connection, it feels like things are the way that they're supposed to be. When we feel disconnected, something deep within us tells us that this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's a deep and fundamental part of how we're all created. I mean, back in the Garden of Eden, we were created to be connected with other people. And in the beginning, in the garden, Adam and Eve were truly connected. They were connected as husband and wife in such a good way that it made Adam sing a song of praise when he met Eve. But they were also connected in the purpose that they had, to work together as male and female, different people but united in purpose, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the ground. I mean, God put the man into the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And he gave the woman there to be with him, to partner with him in that task. They were united. They did partner with one another and they had a meaningful connection with each other. And it was good, very good even. Because that's how God created us, to have a meaningful connection with other people. But not only with other people. When God created people, he created us to fill a specific purpose in his universe. To fill the earth, subdue it, rule it, watch over it, work it. Now, I know these days when you link those words together, it sounds like, you know, destroy the earth for our benefit. But in the beginning, it wasn't like that. The task was to rule the world and watch over it in the same way that God himself would. That is, doing the right things, doing good things, giving of ourselves to build others up rather than taking from others to build ourselves up. Giving life rather than taking it. And it goes deeper than that even. When God created the first man, do you know how he created him? In Genesis 2, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and he became a living being." It's even where we get the name Adam. In Hebrew, Adam means ground, earth, because that's where we come from. It's important because we have a deep fundamental connection with this earth, because that's where we came from. And we were created from this earth to work it and give it life. So it lives. Because that's what God is like. He gives life. That's why when we look at a natural landscape that's verdant with green and teeming with life, something deep in our souls feels, you know, at rest, like this is good, this is right. It's why we feel so satisfied looking at a freshly mown green lawn, why we go on holidays to the beach, to the mountains. But then when we're presented with a picture of a landscape that's been, you know, devastated and polluted and lifeless, something just feels wrong. It's why we're horrified by the indiscriminate destructive power of a nuclear bomb, because God created us to work this world in a way that brings life, not to destroy it, take it away. And so in the beginning, we were created to be meaningfully connected with each other, meaningfully connected with the world around us, but importantly, also meaningfully connected with God himself, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, the sovereign king of the universe, and yet the most loving, caring, wonderful father in the whole universe, the one who is gracious, compassionate, abounding in faithful love, rich in mercy, the giver of every good gift. He didn't create us and then leave us to play amongst ourselves while he went off and did more important things. He created us to be meaningfully connected with us so that we'd be connected with him and that he would share with us the goodness and blessedness of his being God. Be connected with him over those things. And when we talk about wanting to be connected with something bigger than ourselves, there is nothing bigger in the universe in any way than God himself. And when we feel that longing to be connected with something big, we feel that longing to be connected with something bigger because we were created to be connected to him. And it's that connection to him which is the most meaningful. It's that connection with him that shows us how to be connected with everything else. Our connection with him shows us how to be connected with everyone else. Our connection with him shows us how to be connected with the world around us. And it empowers us to be connected in life-giving ways. So, I mean, the point here is that we feel a deep longing for meaningful connection because that's just who we are. That's how we've been created. Fundamental part of us. But as you all know, as we've mentioned already, there is a big problem. Today, in too many ways, we don't feel that meaningful connection that we're created for. We don't feel the connection with other people that we know is right. So we try to fill that void by joining some sort of group or tribe. I mean, that's why, you know, outlaw gangs exist, why secret societies exist, why people do crazy things to get initiated into various groups that they want to be a part of, because they feel that these groups, these, you know, is going to give them this real connection with others. It's going to give them a family, which might make us feel connected for a little while, but it's not going to satisfy in the long run. I mean, sometimes you see people try to fill this with romantic relationships, looking for the one that they truly connect with, the one who will truly make them feel like they aren't alone in the world and that they really matter, only to find that that relationship can't bear the weight that you put on it. I mean, we look to things that feel bigger than ourselves to find meaning. I mean, in Australia, I've kind of mentioned it already, that one of the big ones we do in Australia is we follow sports teams. You know, we follow, we feel like these are key parts of society that give us a purpose. And as religion retreats from the public square here, people align themselves with politics, feeling that whatever political party they align themselves to can be a force for good in the world, and by being part of it, they can change the world for the better. But the hard lesson is that when we put our hope of connection in any of these things, is that unless we're connected with God and the God and the Father of the whole universe, none of these connections work properly. We may be able to find some connection with other people for a time without God, but more likely than not, eventually there will be a disconnection in one way or another. You don't have to watch the news very long to see people who were once very deeply connected who are now have become rivals of sorts. When we put our hope in some other higher purpose other than God himself, more likely than not, at some point, God will reveal to you that it's not able to carry the hope that you're putting in it. And you'll end up saying with the writer of Ecclesiastes and every Broncos supporter who was leaving the ground at the end of that Bulldogs game, meaningless, absolute futility, everything is futile. Even our bodies of flesh are stacked against us because though we still feel the fundamental need for meaningful connection, our hearts and minds try to seek that connection anywhere other than God. And when we go down a path that leads us away from God and we get disappointed, everything in us is inclined to turn down another path other than the one where God is, hoping that this one won't be another dead end, only finding out that it is. But let me tell you some good news. And this is good news of great joy for everyone this Christmas. It's that Jesus came on that very first Christmas to restore our connection to God, to restore us to life that is meaningfully connected. Because what disconnected us from God is what we call sin, which is when we reject him, his ways, his truth. Because he is the king of the universe, when you reject the king and his rules, it leads to punishment, which for us was being cut off from God, which is worse than it sounds because, as we've said before, when we're disconnected from God, every other connection in our life suffers as well. But Jesus came, as it says in 1 Peter, to bring us to God, to reconnect us with God. And he did that by going to the cross, to take the punishment for our sins so that the condemnation of being cut off from God would be taken away. And because of what he did, everyone who believes in Jesus can boldly draw near to the very throne of grace of God the Father, not any physical place here on earth because God is in heaven, but spiritually through prayer. We can approach the very throne of the King of the universe himself and ask for his grace and have a real hope of receiving mercy to help us in times of trouble. I mean, this is good news this Christmas. Because of Jesus, and when we trust Jesus, we can experience meaningful connection with God again, right now, and get back to a place a bit closer to the way that things are supposed to be and fulfill that deep longing in our hearts that we have for meaningful connection. But the news gets better than that as well. Do you remember the reading that Michelle read for us before from John 15? In verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me." And what does that mean? I mean, well, if you think of a grapevine, what's the purpose of the branches? You know, to produce fruit. If the branches remain in the vine and produce fruit, they are achieving their purpose. And if they produce much fruit, they are abundantly achieving their purpose. And isn't that what we all long for deep down in our hearts, to feel like we are abundantly achieving our purpose? Now, as we've said, a fundamental part of every one of us is that our purpose is to be meaningfully connected with God, with others, with the world around us. And that verse I just read is saying that if we believe in Jesus, Jesus empowers us to fulfill that purpose abundantly. And as we've said, Jesus is the way to reconnect with God. But when we reconnect with Jesus, he allows us to connect with others as well. When we believe in Jesus, God takes us in. He fills us with his spirit of adoption and makes us his sons and daughters. So that when we believe, we have a new connection. We have a new family, a connection that is deeper and more profound than any human connection. Because what connects us is the spirit of God who lives in each one of us. A number of years ago, you know, most of you know, I was on a Christian mission ship called Logos 2, and it was a ship of, you know, 200 mostly young people from over 40 different countries. I mean, we were a truly diverse crew, and humanly speaking, some people on the ship had no business getting along with one another. it got particularly awkward one time sitting in a group of people and all of a sudden an American and a German were talking about World War II. And you know, you're bracing for fireworks. But by and large, you know, we got on like a family who were connected with one another in a real and meaningful way. I mean, not everyone always got along perfectly with everybody else. Occasionally there were some difficulties. But by the time I left, after not having known anybody when I got on the ship, you know, within 10 weeks, it truly felt like these people had become family to me, that we shared a connection that wasn't explained by any human means. And for believers, it's a very common experience when we go to a new place, we visit a new church where we haven't met anyone before, but once we talk to a few people there, we feel like we are among family, even among people we've never met, because it's the Spirit of God that connects us. And the Spirit of God transcends all place and time. So being, you know, connected to a church, it gives us meaning and significance as well. Because we become part of something much bigger than ourselves. When we become part of the church, we start to play a part in God's big story, a story that started before there was a universe and a story that will go on forever and ever after the universe is no more. It's a story that connects us with people from ancient times, with people who are living all over the world today, and also with countless people who haven't even been born yet. It's a story that transcends time and language and location and culture. And that's God's story of saving people, setting the world to rights, restoring everything that's broken. Every believer, God calls and equips to play our own unique part in that big story. God gives all of his children the ability to truly give life to others one way or another. And when we play our part in that, it is never in vain. It is always meaningful and significant because God makes it so. It does genuinely make a positive difference, even if we don't know what that significance is until eternity. And connected with God and his church with meaning and purpose, we don't ever have to feel isolated and insignificant, like everything we do is meaningless ever again, which I hope is good news for you as Christmas approaches, because that's what Jesus came for. So, I mean, this Christmas, when you feel that deep longing in your heart for meaningful connection, for significance, to feel like part of something real, may the news of that baby born in Bethlehem be good news of great joy for you. Because of him and through him, we can know connection which is truly satisfying to the deepest parts of our souls. But for now, let's close in prayer, coming to the throne of the Father through the Son, and ask that the Spirit, that he will apply these words to our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good Father, that you are the Creator God and you know us more than we know ourselves. We thank you that you know how you created us and what we need. And we thank you that you sent Jesus so that we can be meaningfully connected with you, with each other, with the world around us. We pray for each of us that you may empower us by Spirit to know these things, but also to play our own unique part in this big story that you have for us. And may it give life to those who are around us, and may it all be to the praise of your glorious grace. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, all these blessings, they only come through one person. And so if the music team would like to come forward now,